The presence of the Lord has just invaded this house. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody needs to get off the fringe tonight and go ahead and accept your call. Become that voice that Brother Coltharp just preached about. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Greatest thing you could do is be a preacher. Greatest thing you could do is be a Bible study teacher. Greatest thing you could do is give your life to the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to reach over and grab a hold of a person's hand next to you, lift it toward heaven right now. Ask God to speak to us and through us one more time tonight. God, let us hear from you. What Brother Coltharp just preached, let it be on display again. In the name of Jesus, let your word be clear. Hallelujah. Tonight, Lord, confirm some things tonight. Woo, hallelujah. Let something supernatural sweep through this house tonight, God. Let a spirit of revival and resolve come in this place. Let's get our minds made up tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands to the Lord and give him a shout of praise. Come on, there's about to be another wave of the Holy Ghost come in here. Thank you, Jesus. As you make your way back to your seat, can we give this choir a great big hand that blessed us tonight? Wow. Thank you, Brother Howard. Jeremiah chapter 17. My friend, Brother Coltharp, just preached a phenomenal message. And Brother Blake kicked off a keynote tonight, basically preached my message. So I'm just going to piggyback on him for a minute. Jeremiah chapter 17, and then I'll read one verse out of the book of Psalms. What an honor to be here. To everyone that had something to do with me being here, thank you so very much. I give honor to all your leadership, to all the faculty at Urshan College and UGST. We give you great honor tonight. My ministry is just a big collection or collage of how did I get here? Tonight's no different. How in the world did I get at a pulpit conference at Urshan College? Jeremiah chapter 17, you heard Brother Blake already read this. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Notice the words in verse 8. He shall be as a tree. And then the psalmist said it like this in Psalms chapter 1, verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Again, he shall be like a tree. Look at your neighbor and say, like a tree. Look at your other neighbor and say, like a tree. God bless you. You may be seated. The Bible has a lot to say about trees. As a matter of fact, they're mentioned over 300 times in Scripture. You have the acacia tree, the almond tree, the apple tree, cedar and cypress trees, fig trees, olive tree. It even talks about pine trees, pistachio trees, pomegranate, poplar trees. It only took 11 verses in the entire Bible for God to mention trees. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. Then the tree gets highlighted again in chapter 2, verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Somebody shout trees. And then God gave a very specific and strict command concerning the tree in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. He said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There's just something about the tree. It was a tree that God instructed Moses to cut down and put in the waters to heal them of their bitterness. It was a tree that God told the Israelites to bury their jewelry under and to repent of their vanity and to move on into the promises of God. It was a particular type of tree that Noah used to build the ark that would save his family. God has always been a little fond of using trees to help his people. That's why it shouldn't surprise us when we get to the New Testament that God chose another tree to save his people. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And the Apostle Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you. He said, I don't want to know your gossip, and I don't want to know your trouble, and I don't want to know who's dating who, and I don't want to know your successes, and I don't want to know how much money you got in the building fund. I don't want to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful tonight for Calvary's tree. That tree in the Garden of Eden put us under a curse, but that tree at Calvary broke that curse. Anybody thankful for the tree? I am thankful that Christ died on a tree for my sins. Without that tree, we would still be lost. We would still be addicted. We would still be on our way to hell. But that old rugged cross made a way for us to be set free. And he that the Son is set free is free indeed. If you're thankful for Calvary, you ought to clap your hands and make some noise right now. Because of that tree, you can still repent. You can still be baptized in Jesus' name. You can still receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I am thankful for Calvary's tree. Whosoever will, let him come. Somebody shout amen. Amen. So God used a tree to save us. He said we shall be like a tree. We read it in Jeremiah, he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. The psalmist, we read it again, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Everybody say, like a tree. And so I think it's important that we take note of the fact that God did not liken us to a reed that would be easily shaken in the wind. He didn't liken us to a twig that would be broken when the storms of life would blow through. He did not liken us to a mushroom that would quickly pop up overnight, but could be easily toppled by the smallest child. But he did say, we shall be like a tree planted. Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 8 says, it was planted in good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches, that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. I love those words. Planted, good soil, great waters, goodly vine. The psalmist said in chapter 92, verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. There's that word again, planted. Everybody shout, planted. It makes it sound like it's on purpose. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a mishap. You didn't get dropped. You didn't get lost. It was intentional, planned, deliberate. And I want somebody to walk out of this service tonight and realize that you too, you are not an accident. And you are not enrolled in this school by chance. And you are not serving by mistake. And you have not stumbled into your calling. God has planted you right here for this season. God has brought you here on purpose and for a purpose. And I want somebody to believe you are right where you are supposed to be at this season of your life. And if you believe that, clap your hands right now and give God praise. You are planted. And this church we're a part of is not an accident. It was planted on purpose. And I pray there's some church planters here. I pray there's some future church planters here. Jesus said it like this, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I'm happy to report to you tonight, hell can't stop this revival. We are planted like a tree. We're not going to let a little erroneous wind of doctrine blow us, false doctrine blow us away. We are planted like a tree. We're not going to let a spirit of compromise discourage us. We are planted like a tree. We're not going to let a worldly, homosexual, transgender, pro-abortion, political mindset make us think God has died. The devil is a liar. We're going to be like a tree that is planted. This is the church's finest hour. This is our greatest time to have the greatest revival we've ever had before. Sorry, devil, I'm planted here. I'm planted in the kingdom. I'm planted in the church. You can't run me off. I made up my mind a long time ago. My feet are planted here. I'm believing God for an apostolic move of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going anywhere. I'm planted here. Somebody else may leave, but I'm planted. Somebody else may believe something else, but I made up my mind a long time ago. Come hell or high water, I'm going to hear him say, well done. Somebody shout, like a tree.
I don't know how I got here. Dr. Coltharp, I don't know what all that's about. Scares me. I told someone, told Brother McClintock, I think I use a lot of props for my sermons because every bad sermon needs a prop. So I use a lot of props, and I was like, on the plane today, it hit me that I think the school is using me as a prop. Say, hey guys, next week in class, I want somebody to report this when it happens. Next week in class, hey guys, remember that guy that was here? Yeah, we don't do it like that. So let me take us a little deep tonight. You want to go deep? You've heard the old saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the
tree.
In other words, what fruit we produce today should resemble the same fruit that was produced 2,000 years ago. But in order for the fruit to be the same, the tree must be the same. Now, I know this is going to get deep, but work with me here, okay? It's impossible for an apple tree to produce figs. Nudge your neighbor and say, wow. It's impossible for an orange tree to produce pears. It's impossible for a coconut tree to produce blueberries. The seed is going to determine the fruit. And in order for the fruit to be the same, the tree has to be the same, which means the seed has to be the same. Let me make it a little plainer to you. It's impossible for a carnal church to produce spiritual saints. It's impossible for a dead church to produce the supernatural. It's impossible for Ishmael to cohabitate with Isaac. In order for the fruit to be the same, the tree has to be the same. And that first church was an apostolic, Pentecostal, Jesus' name church. And if we want the same fruit, we must have the same tree, which means we must have the same seed. It's every tree starts out as a seed. One of the most dangerous things that I see with young people, young ministers, is to look at somebody like a Brother Bernard or Brother Jones, or Brother Coltharp, a Sister Paymer, and to think that the moment someone hands you a diploma, that you're going to have what they have, and that you're now on the scene, and all the world's problems is now resolved. Let me help you tonight. It may never be God's will for you to have what they have. It may be God's will for you to have more. But I do know this, it's not going to start out the way it looks 50 years down the road. It's going to start out like a seed. But despise not the day of small beginnings. God has you right where He wants you. And it's a seed right now, but you're going to be a tree. Don't walk out of school thinking you're too good to teach a Sunday school class. Don't graduate thinking you're too anointed to get a job and serve at the church. Don't throw away these years because you think you're bigger than you really are. Let God use you right where you are. It may just be picking somebody up for church, but it's a seed. It may be just teaching somebody a Bible study that nobody knows anything about, but it's a seed. Greatest thing that me and my wife do every week is go teach Bible studies. We don't have to tweet about it. We don't have to post about it. We're teaching right now. We're teaching a 91-year-old lady a Bible study. 91. I told her, I said, we're going to have to teach this one fast. We ain't got a lot of time here. I'm like, and then we flip the chart. It's just a seed, but you're not wasting time. When God made, the Bible says that God allowed the seed is in itself. That when God made the trees, He made them so that they could reproduce and they could grow and they could multiply. And here is the often overlooked and forgotten truth about the seed. Before it can grow, before it can become what it is destined to become, before it becomes a tree, it must be buried, covered up, endure the darkness of the earth,
and it must die. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Before there can be a tree, before there can be branches, before there can be fruit, there has to be a seed that's willing to die. And I want to encourage someone today and tell you that if you feel like you've been buried, and if you feel like you've been mistreated, and if you feel like you've been covered up under the pressures of this world, don't fight against that. That could very easily be God trying to get that seed to die, because before there's the life of the tree, there's got to be the death of the seed. And some of you need to quit feeling sorry for yourself and understand that God's trying to set you up for something greater. But you keep resuscitating the very thing that God's trying to get out of you. That's why when Peter was defending Jesus and he started cutting off people's ears and he said, I'm refusing to let Jesus die. Jesus looked at him and said, quit acting like the devil. And when Judas showed up, the guy with the devil that kissed him, betrayed him, and pushed him to his death, Jesus looked at him and said, I've been waiting on you, friend. The one that was trying to stop him to die, Jesus said, that's the devil. The one that pushed him into his destiny, Jesus said, that's my friend. Anything that keeps you from dying out to the will of God, that's of the devil. And anything that pushes you to that place, that's your friend. Because until that seed dies, I'm going to give you some help right now. You're not at Bible college to grow. You're at Bible college to die. You're not here to try to sprout your wings. We're here to try to cover you up. We're here to try to not bury you, but plant you. We're here to let you die because we've got a world to reach. Somebody shout, like a tree. Next thing you need to know about a tree is that they'd never be able to function. Brother Blake's already preached this. They would never be able to function, live, survive, or grow without roots. Listen to this quote. When transplanting a new plant, many people forget about the roots and worry that a lack of top growth, the part that's above the ground, that a lack of top growth means that the plant is too small or weak to survive. In fact, it's just the opposite. The article goes on to say, long, elaborate, leafy tops are not ideal since they require sustenance for continued growth. This puts additional stress on a new plant because it really should focus its energy on getting established at planting time. Even if top growth isn't excessive, having a mass of strong, healthy roots will encourage the new plant to put on more top growth once it becomes established in its environment. When I read that, I couldn't help but think of churches, because we put a lot of emphasis on the top of the tree. That what everybody can see. That what we can tweet about. Instagram about, more so than we do on the root system, which is under the surface. Somebody shout roots. Isaiah called Jesus the root of Jesse. The roots that I'm talking about tonight would be prayer, fasting, the word, doctrine, truth that makes up who we are. We cannot get caught up in a numbers game of how many we have, because we can have a lot on the surface and yet not have a root system, and the tree will not survive. Or we may feel like we don't have a lot of folks coming right now, but we're getting the roots right, and that's going to be more successful in 15 years than a super fast growth right now. And the reason why some people have bad fruit is because they have bad roots. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 30. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Before we focus on the fruit upward, we got to focus on the root downward. So I want to encourage you tonight. Make sure we keep the right roots. This has always been, and it better always be, a one God church. Because that's our roots. There are not three people in the Godhead. There are not three persons in heaven. There are not three thrones in glory. This is not just a small misunderstanding among religious leaders or just a little confusion over semantics, or you say tomato and I say tomato. It's much deeper and much more deadly than all of that. There is only one God, and His name is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. That's our roots. And if we want the same tree, and if we want the same supernatural power, we've got to have the same. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But listen to what two verses before that said in verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. We got to stay rooted to this one God message. Let me preach to somebody tonight. Don't mess with our roots. The new birth is part of our root system. And I'm going to help you. We don't trace our roots back to Azusa Street. Our roots go way further back than 100 years ago. We trace our roots back to the words of Jesus in John 3, except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit. We trace our roots to Acts 2, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of. That's our roots. And if we want the same fruit, then we must have the same roots. And what you heard Brother Colthart preach, that's got to get in us. No, nothing else can take the place of preaching. Nothing else can take the place of pulpit. Nothing else can take the place of doctrine. God forbid that we get at this juncture when the world needs a Holy Ghost church more now than ever before, and we water this down to some, say, a sinner's prayer or some seeker-friendly conversation. God forbid. We better get up in that pulpit and preach the Word of the Lord. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. And don't get caught up in this sensational game. The Lord just showed me something. Now, I think this is good if I say so myself. The table of showbread in the holy place that represents the Word of the Lord is the exact same measurements as the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies that represents the power, presence, and manifestation of God. So if you preach and the place blows up, and there's this awesome, powerful, supernatural manifestation of God, and you get back up the next service and you just teach a Bible study, and it seems like nobody moved a muscle, in God's eyes, they're the same measurements. And when you have that revelation, you don't have to chase a bunch of silliness and phoniness, and you don't have to chase a bunch of shallowness, and you don't have to start making up reports that may or may not be true. You can just stand on the Word of God. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. If you're just preaching the Word, and that's the same measurements as when the glory fell in this place a while ago. So a tree's got to have seed. It's got to have roots. It's got to have branches. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Because when you have the right roots, you'll have right branches.
Our branches are what I'd like tonight to call our growth, our evangelism, our outreach. We have to have branches. We have to be reaching out. They got to reach in every direction. A tree that only grows in one direction is not fulfilling its purpose. A tree that only has branches that reaches out in one direction is not really being the tree that it's destined to be. A church that focuses on only reaching one demographics of people would never be the church that it was destined to be. We can't just reach a particular age group. We can't just reach a particular economic status. We can't, and God forbid, that we just try to reach for a certain color. As our branches take root downward, we must also branch upward. Everybody's welcomed in our churches. The homosexual, the lesbians, the transgender, nobody's standing at a door. Nobody's standing in the parking lot stopping anybody from coming in, whosoever will. We got branches. We're reaching over here. We're reaching over here. We sing this style of music because we're trying to reach this. And now we're going to sing this type of song because we're constantly reaching. We're reaching. We're reaching. We're reaching. Jesus said it like this in John 15:2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges, that it bring much more fruit. So not only does God expect us to have branches, he expects us to have stuff on our branches. Let the church become like a tree. Isaiah 55 and verse 12 says, the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. What the writer is saying is when the wind begins to rush across the field, the Bible says all the trees shall clap their hand. And the Lord said, we shall be like a tree. In Isaiah 7:2, it says, and the trees of the woods are moved with the wind. When the wind blows, a tree can't say, I'm not going to move. When the wind blows, a tree can't say, well, I'm not going to respond tonight. When the wind starts blowing, the tree can't say, well, now I got moved last week. I'm just going to stay right here. All trees become affected by the wind. When the Holy Ghost wind starts blowing in our services, everybody in the house ought to move. Everybody in the house ought to be impacted. Who am I and who are you to sit there when the Spirit starts trying to move and say, I'm not going to respond, or I'm not going to move, or I'm not going to get in. We are to be like a tree. And if a tree is going to clap their hands, we ought to clap our hands. And if a tree is going to move, then we ought to move. I'm begging this generation, do not in all you're getting, make sure you don't get rid of expressive Pentecostal worship. This isn't going to run anybody off. This is what they're looking for. They're looking for power. They're looking for something they can give themselves to. When the wind starts blowing, you start clapping. When the wind starts blowing, you start moving. We shall be like a tree. Thanks for the notes. And a tree, go to the next slide. A tree also has leaves. Leaves. Ah, leaves. Leaves. Those things that Adam and Eve tried to use to cover up their mistakes. And God said, no, I can't let you do that, because come about every October, I'm afraid we put too much emphasis on the leaves without proper understanding. You see, there's this thing called seasons.
And the season will determine whether or not you have leaves. But the season never determines whether or not you are a tree. Now, the season will determine whether or not you're green and full and everything is great, but that season will never determine whether or not you're a tree. And there will be seasons when your ministry is in full bloom and God is using you in a great way, and you couldn't preach a bad sermon if your life depended on it. But there will also be seasons where it seems like you're barren and you're having to call Brother Sargent to get him to send you sermons that you can preach because you have nothing, and you'll feel unfulfilled. Not that I've ever been there. And you'll feel unfulfilled. I'm just helping somebody. And your ministry will seem like you can't get one foot off the ground, and you couldn't get a fresh thought if your life depended on it. But you hear me. It's during that season the devil would love to whisper to you and tell you that you don't really have what you thought you had, and he'll begin to manipulate you. But you better hear the words of this little country preacher to remind you, you're like a tree, and there may be times that you've got everything going your way and you've got leaves and you're in full bloom, but there may also be times that you're barren and you're in a desert and you feel like that you're still a tree. And sometimes God will allow the leaves to vanish just so he can show off the tree a little bit. And when Jesus died, he didn't die on a pile of leaves anywhere, because he knew they would come and that would go. But he did say, I will die on a tree. And if I'm going to die over anything, I'm not going to die over some emotional roller coaster ride up and down. People here, ministry there. No, I'm making up my mind. If I die over anything, I'll die over the tree. But I understand there's going to be seasons of good things. There's going to be seasons of bad. Seasons when people want to hear me preach. Seasons when they don't. But I'm still tree. And if I won't let the devil cut me down, just as sure as I got in it, I'll get out of it. Amen. And then the last point I want to bring to you is that the tree also has bark. The bark of the tree is similar in many ways to our own skin. It is essential for the survival of the tree. God said, we shall be like a tree, which means that we must have a seed, and that's how we start small, and that's fine. And we must get rooted, and we must have branches. And we're going to go through seasons where we're in full bloom, and then the leaves will come and the leaves will go. But then we must also have some bark. The layers of bark that covers a tree are a circulatory system of sorts. They send food from the roots to the leaves and from the leaves to the roots. When an area of bark is torn away from a tree, it results in damage to the system of the tree, the system of getting food from the leaves to the roots. And now this can become harmful, if not fatal. If a strip of bark should be severed around the entire circumference of the tree, there is little, if any, hope of repair or survival of that tree. Trees have chemicals within their bark which protects against fungal and insect attack. And the bark of the tree becomes similar to our holiness and standards of lifestyle choices. The bark, unlike a leaf, will never leave the tree. The bark is in style regardless of what season the tree may be in. The leaf may come and go, but the bark is there. The bark is there when you're at Bible college. The bark is there when you're on spring break. The bark is there when you're on vacation. The bark is there when nobody else is around. The bark is there when you're on a date. Our holiness has a chemical, or I like to call it an anointing, that's connected to it. And that chemical or that anointing protects us from the attack of the enemy. And just as bark serves to protect the tree, so holiness serves to protect our lives and our ministries. As a matter of fact, without bark, there would be no tree. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We can't be like a tree and not have some bark. I've heard the old saying my whole life, his bark is worse than his bite. But I'm here to tell you, if the church doesn't have any bark, we don't have any bite. And what's happening in Pentecost right now is that there's some that's saying, we'll just peel a little layer off here. And I'm just going to try to make it a little smoother over here. And we're just not going to focus as much on this stuff over there. That bark is so rough and ugly. And I think more people would come and get in our tree if there just wasn't so much bark. And all you're doing is destroying the tree. You can't mess with the bark without affecting the branches. Without affecting the roots. And so I come tonight to remind you that God said we should be like a tree. And I'm not going to sit back and let anybody start peeling off the bark that has been so instrumental in building apostolic churches without trying to stand up and say, wait a minute. I'm not going to let some carnal saint or backslidden preacher peel off layers of this bark without standing up and saying, as for me and my house, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut when a bunch of backslidden people start making fun of our... Call me a tree hugger if you want to, but I want the same tree they had in that first century. I want the same tree they had when this organization was formed. 1 Corinthians 11 is still part of our bark. Deuteronomy 22 and 5 is still part of our bark. Modesty is still part of this bark. Separation from the world is still part of the bark. I know it's a little old school, but I come to tell you, keep the bark on the tree. That's what gives us our chemical, our anointing. That's what keeps the attack away. Let's all stand. Let me reread something I read to you just a moment ago about the physical bark of the tree. The layers of bark that covers a tree are a circulatory system of sorts that sends food from the leaves of the tree to its roots and vice versa. The way you keep the roots healthy and the way you keep the leaves fed is to have strong and healthy bark on the outside of the tree. That arborist said that if a strip of bark should be severed around the entire circumference of the tree, there is little, if any, hope of repair or survival. That by itself should tell you how important and how essential the bark, the exterior, is to the longevity of the tree. I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but do not think you can do this without bark. Let's just be honest. That was a joke. Friday night was a joke of that revival. And Friday night, for the first time ever in my life, I felt that anointing. And I knew, oh, this is what I'm going to do. So for 17 years, I'll be 50 years old this year. You'd think I'd be a better preacher with all these years to do it. But you don't have a 30-year ministry 30 minutes after getting out of school. But everything you do now is determining what kind of ministry you're going to have then. You shall be like a tree. It takes years and years for a tree to grow to a size that it can handle the storms. I've got several trees in my yard that's probably 250 to 300 years old. They're humongous oak trees. They'll outlive me. But they didn't get there when I built the house. Like any plant, the growth of the Chinese bamboo tree requires nurturing, water, soil, sunshine. In its first year, we see no visible signs of activity. In the second year, no growth above the soil. Third year, nothing. The fourth year of that tree, still nothing. Our patience is tested. We begin to wonder if our efforts, if our caring, our watering, our praying, our years at Bible college will ever be rewarded. And finally, in the fifth year, a miracle. Growth. And what growth it is. The Chinese bamboo tree grows 80 feet in just 6 weeks. The devil's trying to convince some of you right now that you're wasting your time and you're not growing and that you're not being fulfilled. But you cannot believe the lie of the enemy. Had the tree, had that Chinese bamboo tree not developed strong, unseen foundation, it could not have sustained the growth it had in those 6 weeks. And the same principle is true with your ministry. You patiently toil. You have dreams and goals. You're working to build character, overcoming adversity, growing the internal foundation that one day will be able to handle success. And if God will help me, I'm going to talk more about that in the morning. And here you are feeling like you're being overlooked while the get-rich-quickers and the lottery, spiritual lottery winners are, it seems like they're just growing and growing and growing. That'll fizzle. You just let God take care of your roots. You just get some things settled. Had the Chinese bamboo tree farmer dug up his little seed every year to see if it was growing, he would have killed the tree. And some of you are here and you feel like you're struggling. You feel like you've been buried. You feel like you've been forgotten. Everything that can go wrong is going wrong. You started out good, but something happened. You started the year with great vision, but something happened. You feel like you've been cut down. Job chapter 14, verse 7 says, there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, it will sprout again. You can live again. You can have a ministry again. You can get up and serve God again. You shall be like a tree planted. Lift your hands up all over this place. If there's a young person here that I'm preaching to, and you just feel like you've been doing a lot of work that's unseen, and you just feel a little discouraged that you're being overlooked right now, could you make your way to this front and throw your hands up toward heaven and just recommit yourself to the process? Promotion does not come from the east or the west, and promotion does not come from the south. Promotion comes from God. He that hath begun a good work in you, he shall complete it. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. Just go ahead and let God plant you. You're just a seed right now, but go ahead and die out. God's going to raise you up. Greatest preachers we've ever heard is in this room right now. Greatest songwriters we've ever heard are in this room right now. You can't shortchange the process. You'll look back and go, I don't even know how I got here, but God had his hand on it. You can use me, God. You can trust me, God. I want to do something great for your kingdom, God.
My house was built on.
Come on, you shall be like a tree.